That's it, a few more people. Hi everyone. Thanks for coming to the session. I know we've got a bit of competition at the moment with Mr. Service Bus next door, but we'll carry on anyway. Okay, so I'm presenting three ways to integrate business systems with our partners, which is really about talking through a few patterns that are quite different and how they can map to particular Azure services and quickly and easily, so you can get some integration going quite fast, but with enterprise-grade integration. So before I actually get into it, though, I'll just say that the actual Microsoft, I think they're called the Pro Integration product team, they'll be here towards the end of the session. And if you have any questions about the products around BizTalk or Logic Apps or API management, these are the guys that build it, so they could probably answer some questions. So hopefully there's a few more people then. All right, let's get started. My name is Nathan Fernandez. I'm a technical director at Interpret. We specialize in data and integration solutions, and we're based out of Melbourne and Sydney. I'd like to start the session by talking about George. George had a dream. He dreamt of taking his physical store. He had a shoe cobbler business. He did this in a very traditional way. It was very popular in New York, but he was able to produce more shoes than he could sell. So he wanted to take that online. He's actually done this, so he's already dreamt it and executed, but at some point he had to go from the physical store to be able to sell these shoes 24/7. So this session is about taking what's a little database that sits underneath his sales counter and then exposing that to the cloud so that you could do connect to some, maybe an e-commerce system, an online store, and potentially take orders 24/7. So we've got his little database here, and ideally you'd probably want to move that to SQL Azure. That might be the first thing, but in many situations you can't. It's got to stay there. There may be a hardware dependency of some kind. So let's just assume you can't move it. It's got to stay on premise. It's got to stay underneath the sales counter. But the first thing you want to do is we want to connect to these online stores so that we can take orders. But before we can actually take an order, we've got to check if we've got stock. Because he's still selling shoes inside the store, he needs to have a central place to maintain that inventory. So we need to have a way for these e-commerce stores to kind of query what's sitting in the database. So we need an interface to do that. The second kind of interface we need is actually one to take orders. So once the e-commerce store has got its stock levels, and yep, there is some stock, you can the customer, the consumer, can place an order. And also bear in mind that he may not have more than one online store. He may have multiple. He may have his own primary store, which he manages himself, but he may want to resell through other brands. And finally, since he's going to hopefully have an increase in sales, he actually needs and people aren't going to come to his store to pick up the shoes. He wants a way of delivering those shoes to his new customers online, and he's thinking about using a drone delivery service. But he's not sure about that, and he wants a way of monitoring how they're doing, how quickly are they flying and delivering these shoes, and what flight paths they may be taking. So that's also another interesting interface, probably a more cloud event type interface. So those are the three interfaces there's a little drone there. So those are the three kind of use cases for these interfaces today, and they kind of map nicely to three integration patterns. The first integration pattern, we call it Sync API. So it's a synchronous API call. We want to get that business data back straight away. The second interface is new order. So we kind of actually want to get that order, and we want to send it back into the system so that they can do something. We actually, the e-commerce platform doesn't really need anything back from that. And the third interface, tracking the drone's progress, we'll call it an event capture. So those are kind of three very simple, oversimplified patterns. But before we get into the details of those patterns and how they could potentially be implemented with Azure IPaaS services, let's talk a little bit about the challenges of integration. So I just want to know, who in this room is an integration developer? Please put up your hand. Yeah, yeah, we've got a few. Okay. And who? Anyone use BizTalk? Anyone use Logic Gaps? Okay. Service Bus? API management? Okay. So a lot of this stuff is new for most of you. Here, we did a little poll internally within the Interpret team, and this is kind of what we came up is some very common tasks that we would do when building interfaces, whether they're API interfaces or messaging-based interfaces. This is the common stuff that you'd do for everything. You're doing mapping, you're potentially changing transport protocols, maybe HTTP to AMQP, or you're implementing client security models, you're worrying about performance, throughput, or maybe latency. You have to put in audit trails, you need to have visibility into integration layer, and it needs to be supported, because once you roll this thing out after project, you don't want it to come back to your... You don't want your developers to be continually supporting this thing once it's in production. So, but let me take another look at that. So those are just common challenges. These are what we'd consider to be the actual difficult things to do in integration. And they don't always come up all the time. And the top one in the list, distributed transactions, is probably actually going away with the advent of cloud and the idea of using kind of these eventual consistency paradigm. But it's still there, and it's more of an on-premise thing, but it's very hard to do. the other one is order delivery. Order delivery is really making sure that your messaging is delivered to end systems in the right order. That can be quite challenging, especially when it's business kind of rules that are driving the ordering of those messages. So that's another quite challenging type pattern to implement. I won't go through the rest, but I just wanted to kind of get into the headspace of what do we think about when we're building and designing integration. So let's go into the first pattern, synchronous API, the one we're going to use to get a stock level or for the online store to call so that it can know what is the latest stock level. It's inbound, so it's kind of coming back to on-premise. And these are very much, the first two patterns are very hybrid style integration patterns. So I would say this one is a hybrid synchronous pattern. I think the old pattern name was remote procedure invocation. But we also have some interesting requirements around, we've actually got multiple stores here. We've got multiple consumers of this service. So yeah, we could write a REST service, but maybe we want to have something to help us do the management of those consumers. So we're thinking about maybe implementing a service proxy pattern to isolate those concerns. The other thing to talk about is, since this traffic will be generated from an online store, it's consumer-driven traffic. So it's very hard to predict load. If you're selling products on someone else's site and they do a marketing campaign that they're not aware of, you may all of a sudden get a whole lot of orders that you weren't aware, and you have to be able to have a level of auto-scaling. So hopefully that sets the scene for some of the requirements and potential patterns that we might use. This is how one way we may implement this particular interface. So starting at the database, we need to get that out into Azure because we'd like to actually have a service sitting in front of it. We'd like to put a REST service in front, and probably the best place for that is in Azure because of all the auto-scaling and it's very quick to get up and running. But how do we connect that back to on-premise if we don't have a dedicated connection? Well, we use a hybrid connection to quickly expose that database up to the API app in a very secure way. So all of a sudden we've got a nice little service, but it's not quite secure yet. There's no reporting, there's none of that stuff in it. And we're definitely not managing consumers, the various consumer needs. So we're going to put API management as a service proxy in front of that particular REST service so that we can do all of that stuff that you know you're going to have to do eventually. You're going to have to potentially manage consumers slightly different. You're going to have to do versioning. You're going to need some reporting. You may need to do throttling, maybe expose it as different protocols. So that's kind of a very simple way to connect a few different services, but quickly get something up and running. So let me show you what that might look like. Okay. So let's start with the database. So here's these tables. This is the products table. There's three products in the database that we want to expose to get stock levels on. There's another table here which actually says, okay, for every product, we've got 10 of product one in the warehouse, and we've got 8 of product two, etc. So this is what we need to query. Sorry, just kidding. Okay, so we're going to build a service in front of this database now, and this particular service here, we've built this method, stock level. So if we call it, we will potentially get, if we put in the right product ID, a stock level. But in order to connect this service sitting in Azure back to the database, we're going to have to configure it with a hybrid connection. So I'll just show you how that is. So here's our actual little service sitting in here. And if we scroll down here, there it is, networking. I'll just zoom in a bit there. So you can see, so you've got to go to this networking tab here, and then you have some options to configure this in the various networking configurations. We're going to go for the middle one to configure the hybrid connection. I've actually already configured it. But effectively, just through the, through here, you can very quickly and easily create a little a hybrid connection service which exposes an endpoint in the cloud. You install an agent on your particular on-premise server that you want, that has access to this on-premise resource, and then that connects back up into Azure, and then you have a nice secure link. And then finally, we're going to put API management over the top of it. So here's the API. Here's the operation, and there's something we've created, get stock level by product, and we're giving you this URL, which actually maps to this one on the actual web API REST service. So let's give that a call. I'm just using Postman here. It's very simple. I'm doing a GET request to a particular URL. I'm putting the product ID on the actual URL as well. So let's just have a look here. What I want to query. So let's query the first product, number one. So we'll just change that to one, and send. And there you go. So you can see we've got a 10 there. So we've got 10 products. We've got 10 stock level for that particular product. Okay. Okay, so you can quickly see that if you build an API app, deploy it into app services, then connect back to your on-premise resources using hybrid connections, put API management in front of it to manage your consumers, you can quickly get a pretty robust API going very fast. Any questions about that before I move on? No, it's pretty simple stuff. Hopefully the demo explained it all. So let's move on to the next pattern, which is a one-way transaction. The online store, it'll submit an order. So it doesn't really need anything back. That order just needs to get to that database so it actually happens. So let's just say that order needs to be, the message needs to be guaranteed delivery. We need to ensure it arrives to the database. It's a transaction, so we that order in itself needs to change the state of the database so that it actually occurs. We can't create two orders. We want to make sure the order arrives, so we have to treat it as a transaction, not a distributed transaction, but we need to make sure the state of the database changes appropriately. It's also consumer driven, and I guess we might call this the hybrid asynchronous model here. So we're really just kind of sending this data in, assuming it's kind of like a one way type integration service. So what might this look like? I'd probably just add in two Azure services here to give it the kind of resilience that's required in order to make sure we've got that guaranteed delivery. The first thing we'd put in place is a service bus queue. And why would I put a service bus queue in? I'd put it in to make sure, well, queues in itself are very important in terms of reliability. If, for example, that hybrid connection went down and we needed to talk to that API app, if the online store called it, it'd have to have lots of logic to retry, keep retrying in order to make sure that order was through, and that can be quite cumbersome. So queue is a great place to quickly put that order and then make sure it's delivered. And the logic app is the other thing I would add in here. So the logic app itself is a great mechanism to work with the queue in order to call the API app that we've already written. So we've actually got a service that we wrote, which is, you know, create order that sits in front of the database. But we'd need the logic app to kind of manage the queue. So if that, for example, hybrid connection went down, the logic app would call it, it'd be an error, and it would just stop. And then in a few more minutes, it may just call, pick up the message again from the queue, and then call again. And then so the queue itself is kind of the store which is giving that reliability. So really, just by adding these two components, we can give some resilience to the interface and guarantee delivery. So what does that look like? So let me just start with SQL. So we've basically got two tables in here which represent the order. So we've got an orders table. There we go in here. There we go. So we've got an orders table. There's no orders in there at the moment. And we've got an order line item table. So we need to get our order in there. Oops, sorry, wrong one. Okay, so next thing we need is we need that logic app. We need that logic app to call that API service and just manage that messaging, make sure it's delivered once and only once. So we've got a logic app here which actually makes that call to the service. It actually posts a particular message to the order, but it picks it up from a queue. Picks it up from the sorters queue, which I'll show you in a second. It actually archives it in storage, sends it to the REST service, and then it completes itself. If it fails the HTTP request, then it will actually not complete the queue. So it looks very simple, but it's very powerful. In here, you've got inbuilt retry mechanisms. And here's our actual queue. So it's very simple. Or should I say, it's just really, really hard to add queues in Service Bus. I just have to fill this out in create. Click create. So let's try that out. Let's add something to the queue and process it. In order for that to happen, I'll put that into run so we can see when something's coming through. This is actually a tool called Service Bus Explorer, which lets me look at if there's anything in the queue. And then I'm just going to use Postman to actually post something. So this is what I'm going to post. Just a JSON message. You can see there's the order header at the top, and there's just two line items. Let's send that through. 202, accepted. Did you see down there? And we can see that that's already fired off. I went into the design mode and I clicked run, which actually was waiting for the next execution of that logic app. So then you can see those little ticks, it means it's executed successfully. If we go back to the database, we should see, there you go, there's two line items and one header. So you can see just by adding the service bus, the queue specifically, and a logic app, we've put in some pretty cool resiliency there. The other thing to note is just by putting in the queue, we can put in an innate throttling mechanism. So if we've got this consumer load, which is just all of a sudden hammering a service, well, by putting it via a queue and then having the logic app polling that queue at a given rate, then you can just manage the flow of data back into that database. If you don't have that there, you could overwhelm the database or potentially the hybrid connection itself. So let's move on to the third pattern, which is quite different from the first two. It's really about events. It's not necessarily about transactions. Why events kind of different from, say, messages? Well, I guess with particularly with the last interface, it's very important that every order gets to the database and is fulfilled. As with events, it's more about the stream of events, the flow of events. So if you're getting thousands of events over a point of time, you probably don't care if you miss an event. In this particular instance, and this obviously isn't for every single scenario of event streaming, but in this instance, you have a drone flowing through the sky. We may want to capture its coordinates as it's flowing through the sky. And if we miss one, if an event doesn't quite get to us, we probably don't care because we know it's going in that direction. So an event stream is quite a different kind of model looking at integration. So instead of the individual event itself, it's about the stream, and then we can start looking at that the trends of the stream when it starts having abnormal behavior. And so how would we implement something like this in Azure? Well, to start off, we'd probably use IoT Hub, which is a very, very high throughput event ingestion mechanism, which then can flow it on to various other things. In this instance, let's put it through Stream Analytics. I mean, Stream Analytics itself can do all kinds of stream trend analysis, but it also has the ability to output it into other services in Azure. So let's put it output into Power BI and maybe Blob Storage as well. Power BI, we can do some visualizations. We can actually maybe track its flight path. In Blob Storage, we can collect the data over time and do some analysis. So let's see what that looks like. Oops. Okay. So really, this is what I'd like to see. I'd like to see some flight paths on this map visualization as the drones are moving. Sorry, Libby, where are we? Okay, so here, this is a little resource group which has the artifacts that actually will implement this particular interface. You can see that I've spawned an instance of IoT Hub at the top. If I do this, this might be better. There we go. So I've got an IoT Hub which is going to be going to ingest the event from the device, which is the drone. In this particular instance, we've actually created a little console up which is kind of simulates a drone. Then we've got our storage account, which is there to capture all of these events for potential later analysis. And then we actually have Stream Analytics itself. So let me actually go into Stream Analytics for a second. See what that looks like. I'll go straight into the query. So it's pretty simple, actually. We've got one input, which is the IoT Hub. I've got three outputs. I'm really only using two, the Blob Storage and Power BI. As you can see, these statements are pretty simple. I'm kind of crafting exactly what data I want by doing the select and then identifying the particular columns, you might say, that I want to put into Blob Storage. And the second one is trying to insert into SQL. But down the bottom in Power BI, I may want everything. I may not just want the event. I may want all the metadata around that comes through IoT Hub as well. So I'm saying select star, which is probably a bad thing if there's a SQL DBA in the room. So go through IoT Hub, hit Stream Analytics, comes to Power BI and the blob storage. Now let's have a look at our drone simulator here. You can see I'm just using this device client, which is an object inside this particular namespace, and it's just an IoT SDK. A package you can download from NuGet, so you can actually talk to this. Probably the only thing to point out here is that I'm talking on a particular protocol, which is MQTT. I could be talking on AMQP or whatever. There's a number of protocols that are supported by the SDK, and obviously IoT Hub. So let's run this. Let's pretend to be that drone. There you go. It's flying fast. So let me just go flip back into Power BI and see if we're getting anything. Oops, got time saving there. Okay, there's something coming up. There's a lot of movement going on. Oh, you can see it already. The different colors denote the different types of orders that are being delivered. Okay, so that was pretty easy to get a visualization going. The only code I wrote really was the code for the actual consumer device. Okay, so let me jump back. So you can see that IoT Hub is a pretty cool device. It has mass scale to handle a very, very high level of events. We use stream analytics in a kind of a transformative way to transform that into various services, and we could have done some analytics on that particular trends. We use blob storage to store the events eventually, and then we kind of visualize it in Power BI. Any questions about that particular scenario? No. Again, hopefully self-explanatory. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. All right, so to sum this up, we've tried to illustrate three particular interfaces which all map to three different patterns and then three different designs using various Azure services and how they can very quickly enable all types of integration patterns in Azure. Hopefully that was quite self-explanatory. So really what I want you to take away from this session is that integration requirements vary, but every interface really is different, but there's common patterns and themes in every particular interface. And if you have a handful of patterns, you'll see there's throttling patterns, there's pub-sub patterns, but there's a limited set of patterns that you can boil down interfaces to. So once you get your head around the patterns, then you can map those patterns to interfaces. To Azure services. So you can say, well, we're queuing pattern. Okay, Azure service bus queues, or messaging, transformation, logic apps. So I guess once you get your head around understanding how a pattern can be applied to an interface, then it's just a matter of matching those patterns to your Azure services. So that's it from me. I will quickly just go to the end. Thanks very much. But I see our crew has just come in. the Microsoft Pro Integration team. So if we do have any questions, guys, come up. These are the rock stars of the integration world. Let's bring them up. I'm going to give them some microphones. There we go. Thanks, Kevin. Jeff. Right. So I'll just quickly introduce these guys if I can.
Sure.
So it's the Microsoft Pro integration team, is that correct?
That's correct.
You look after API management, BizTalk, and Logic Apps.
That's right.
Yep. And any other products? No. No. That's enough, right?
Host integration service.
Okay, yeah. So really this is an opportunity to really ask the guys who build this stuff and are responsible for the future roadmaps any questions about maybe what it's doing now or where it could be going in the future. So I'll hand it over to you guys.
I'll hand it up to you guys.
Yeah.
This is your opportunity.
If we look hot, it's because we are. We just did our Logic Apps live outside, and Jeff's laptop melted, so we kind of came back indoors again. So, yeah.
Right.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, kick it off.
What's the future of BizTalk?
BizTalk?
Yeah.
The future of BizTalk's what it's always been. We just shipped the 10th release, BizTalk 2016. I think what we tried to do over the last year is try to bring a lot more clarity in terms of the roadmap of all of our integration products in our portfolio. So BizTalk is our on-premise integration server, you know, bulletproof integration engine, has been for a really long time. And Logic Apps is our cloud workflow and integration engine. And what we've done with 2016 is make these two products integrated together themselves. So we have an adapter from BizTalk to Logic Apps. We have a connector from Logic Apps to BizTalk. So you really can use the best of both worlds and run the workloads and split them across cloud and on-prem as it makes sense, particularly for customers who have existing, you know, BizTalk assets, big investments on-premise is very common, to be able to then get out, you know, into Azure, into cloud services, and extend that integration in as easy a way as possible. Mm. So that's really what we're going to just keep doing with BizTalk Server. And keep, you know, looking at delivering new features and new innovation to BizTalk over time as well.
And if you look at BizTalk, we're actually doing a bit more modern way of releasing features and feature packs in BizTalk. So you can see a lot more updates coming out from BizTalk pretty soon.
Right. So is that going to be in the cumulative update style release?
Yeah, we're not quite sure what we're going to call it yet, but something along those lines yet, that we want to ship more regular updates rather than just a sort of 2 to 3 year release cycle, because, yep, you know, things are just moving too fast for that. So, you know, how do we get features into people's hands more quickly than we've been able to do in the past with a server product? That's what we're working on right now.
Right.
So you mean a document with? There is not. There's actually not a roadmap for Logic Apps either, right? If we were going to use that as
join our webcast
as a measurement, roadmap, yeah. So we talk about these things every month. Like we just came out of one. Do you think having an actual physical document is useful? One of the things, before you answer that, one of the things that our team with API management has done is actually published their Trello board. So we kind of. Hmm. Well, considering we just shipped another version at the end of last year, that's kind of surprising that people would still say that. So,
yeah, absolutely. And that's the feedback we've got. But, you know,
So what do you think we should do to address that?
Well,
publish something? Yeah. So we've been doing some refresh work on the website around integration, particularly around our hybrid integration messaging, and BizTalk's content has been refreshed as part of that as well. So it certainly covers the work we've just been doing with 2016 and the new features and everything. So, yeah, we could look to adding a bit more forward-thinking stuff onto that as well, if you think that's going to, you know, really help the messaging. That's good to know. Thanks. Yeah. It really isn't. I mean, there's a bunch of people working on this thing, and and thousands of customers. Yep.
In my own business, I'm building out a roadmap to 2021.
Right.
How are we going to take the business from here to there? It'd be nice to see some products that have a similar sort of roadmap.
Yeah. I'll just repeat the question, because I don't think I did. Just for anyone who's watching this on the recording. So the question is, should we have a published roadmap? And I guess not just for BizTalk, but probably across kind of all of our integration products that we're responsible for. I'd be interested in, like, people listening in even to, like, ideas and suggestions on how they think we should best do that. There's a whole bunch of things we can do. As I said, everything from kind of going down the route of publicizing the kind of backlog that we have for BizTalk in the same way as API management's done, or actually producing kind of physical documentation where it's on the website or downloadable. I'd be very interested to hear that. Yeah. Thanks. Mm.
Okay. Good question. Yeah. Any other questions? I have another one.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
another one?
Yeah. I've just got lots. But the future of adapters and connectors and, you know, like, there's so many connectors coming out in logic apps, it's just kind of almost overwhelming to keep up with it. But what about BizTalk? Is the future of BizTalk adapters logic app connectors? Or is there a separate kind of roadmap for BizTalk adapters?
One of the things that we've done with that connectivity between BizTalk and Logic Apps is now BizTalk can take advantage of all the SaaS connectors that you have up in the cloud. So especially as you're thinking about connecting on-prem to the cloud, do that through Logic Apps, and then you can take advantage of the hundreds of connectors that we have up there. One of the things that we're doing with the adapters that we have in BizTalk is converting those into connectors as well, so Logic Apps can actually use those connectors if need be.
Yeah, I think when you think sort of specifically about cloud connectors, SaaS connectors, then that feels like the right approach that you get out, because you want to get out to the cloud anyway. But you know, we are looking at, I don't want to kind of steal anything away from Todd, who's on the team working on this, but we are looking at other adapters in BizTalk as well, particularly, you know, ones that don't have that requirement, they're not connected to SaaS services. There's other things we can do with adapters on-prem. So yeah, watch this space for that one.
There you go. So that's obviously proof of a good future for BizTalk.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, if that's it, I can see you. No. if that's it, well, we'll wrap this up. Is there anything else you guys would like to say about the product or?
Keep your eyes on it. It's constantly changing.
Oh, is
right?
It?
Improving, right? Not changing underneath you, but we're constantly adding features to both on-prem and in the cloud. So keep your eye on our stuff.
And yeah, you know, we're always listening. So we just launched user voice for BizTalk as well, as you know, we have one for API management and Logic Apps as well. So suggestions, comments, you know, everything, just send it our way. And we really do take this stuff seriously in terms of, you know, our internal roadmap, you know, in terms of the features we want to deliver. So you use those vehicles to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.